Hey, this is Gray Cook, and welcome to Gray Cook Radio, where I talk with my favorite publisher about the questions that we've generated from our work.
Well, I'm glad we're doing this, Gray, because last week we talked in a conversation, and you gave me some really neat stuff, and I wanted to get that recorded for some other people. I asked you about the getup, because in the weight jumps, it's too heavy for me to go from something I'm comfortable and doing very smoothly up to the next weight. And I wondered how you address that.
Well, first of all, this goes right back to some stuff that Brett Jones and I have talked about, where a lot of people use the get up as a lift, and we want them to go up in weight because it's not so much a demonstration of stability as it is a demonstration of acquiring a combination of strength and stability, movement competency, symmetry, things like that. What I would like you to do when you want to go up in weight is make sure you can go up in weight following that kettlebells from the ground up method, where we start you flat on your back and have you, with the greater weight, go through rotations with your arm and rotations with your neck. Then come up to your elbow. Repeat the rotations. And then come up to your hand if you can handle it. And then repeat the rotations again with the shoulder and the neck. This is going to require a lot of postural control and a lot of stability. But the whole time, your synapses are sensing greater weight and the need for more importance and more stability and better alignment. And so before you ever think about finishing that get up on your feet, really create a reason to just hold those postures longer. And one of the best reasons in the world is rotating that shoulder and neck. And as we say in the video, it's not simply a rehearsal of shoulder and neck range of motion. You're finding a sweet spot of alignment at the same time you're also checking to see, do I have some unnecessary tightness or firing in my pec or in my deltoid or in my traps or my neck musculature? Because if you can't turn your head or rotate your shoulder, you're splinting, not stabilizing. And so when you go up in weight, let's go up in weight with those stability challenges first. So just a quick review of some of that kettlebells from the ground up. Owning that position is also a great way to own an increase in weight.
The other thing, you told me a couple other things too. Another one was dropping the weight in half and doing the bottoms up.
Absolutely. A great tagline and a great way to remember bottom-up work is not just a harder work. It's what we consider a high neural load. It forces continuous engagement, not just with your grip and your forearm, but you got to think about what you're doing. Not so much as watching yourself in a mirror, but you just got to stay in touch with your grip and the way you've packed your shoulder and your posture and your alignment from bottom to top. So whether you get acclimated to the bottom-up work simply by doing some bottom-up presses or holding the bottom-up position close to your collarbone while you do some front squats with it, or even just some overhead walking, then take that bottom-up position into your get-up and follow some of those movements. And remember, you got to go down in weight if you're going to go bottom-up. It's going to be hard enough as it is. So we want you to pull some time in that position. So give yourself permission to go down in weight and up in neural load by going bottom up.
When you first told me that, I actually laughed because it just sounded ridiculous that I'd be able to do it. But I did. It went up real smooth. I was really, really pleased. The other thing you told me was, this one stopped me. I remember saying, stop talking, I have to write this down. You said to push in with my down, with my planted foot, push toward the wall with my long leg, and twist instead of crunch.
That's right. And obviously, I almost want people to do get-ups and experience all those frustrating things like, oh my gosh, I can't, I'm pinned to the ground, and why does my leg keep popping up, and all those things. Because once you experience what it feels like to be a turtle stranded on your back, then it's so much easier to give you those word cues and talk you out of it. So the one where you're trying to get to one elbow, and the best way to get there is to push with the opposite heel or the heel with the bent leg. But at the same time, if you make that elongated leg a little bit longer, We talk about lengthening or elongation. Pavel, when he teaches his workshops, talks about separating your hip, pulling it out of socket. And I just say, to reach for the wall, make that leg 2 inches longer. The other thing that occurs when you make the leg longer is somehow it seems to weigh more. And when it weighs more, it won't pop up. It's a great way to disengage that hip flexor and a lot of those adductors. You're not trying to turn them off. You just don't want them to be the first ones to fire. And if they don't fire, then you've got to fire with something else. And then quickly trying to rotate away from the kettlebell, which is overhead, and then rotate back under it once you're on the elbow, puts that little twist in it. A neat thing occurs here. We've learned quite a bit that when we do exercises that cross the midline, you seem to engage both halves of the brain in a much more holistic format. So when we look at crossover activities as opposed to unilateral activities, we get a lot more engagement, we get a lot more stability, we get a lot more motor learning for our dollar. So instead of trying to do that straight sit-up, which does make it harder, and some people just like making things harder, rotating away and back under doesn't so much make you cross the midline, it takes the midline to different places. So it really causes better engagement of both hemispheres. And then, once again, take the opportunity to give yourself an A, B, C, D, you know, or F when you do a movement on the right side and on the left side. And if you have an asymmetry, own it. Just stay there and work through it, doing the things that you've been taught to do.
I hope people do this because I will tell you from a personal standpoint, it worked.
Great. Well, I like the fact that we actually get to have this conversation again after the fact, because the one thing I want to put out there is I learned a long, long time ago not to waste more than 2 minutes discussing an exercise that I haven't yet attempted or followed advice. So I find that a lot of people, when they respond to a video clip or an audio or somebody's blog, without ever attempting the move, they have a response. And so I think we all learn from that mistake. I've done it, and then I've also swallowed my words and actually been able to benefit from actually practicing something and getting that higher degree of learning just by attempting it before I try to formulate my response. And so a couple bits of advice: try it before you comment on it. And number two, try it before you teach it to somebody else. And I don't just mean sample it. If you consider sampling it the time it takes you to lose the flavor in one piece of gum, that's not even close. Own it for a couple of weeks, then talk about it, and then teach it.
That's great stuff. I'm really glad people are going to get that. And let's do this again next week.
All right. Thank you.